Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Style and Vibes podcast with yours truly, Michaela. If you are new here, welcome to the family. If you are returning, welcome back, family. Today, well, first and foremost, I gotta rewind because I got invited to this amazing, amazing, amazing event, which brings us to my special guest today, Nika Nurse. So Nika is the founder of Best Dress Plates. The event that I attended was Caribbean Traditions, spelled different, all right? but she is a self-proclaimed foodie. She is a supporter of Caribbean food and elevating Caribbean food experiences. So while I had the pleasure of watching her from afar for a little while now, I had the pleasure to see her in action at one of her many soirees. So Nika, mina, mash up your intro. So please introduce yourself to the people and tell us a little bit about you and how you got started.
So my name is Nika Nurse. I started Best Dress Plate 2014, and it really was a thing that I started because I loved food. And I had an experience where I went to a restaurant, a Jamaican restaurant, I won't say which one, and I felt as if they were charging way too much money for food that I can get at a regular mom and pop store. And I have tasted what I considered like elevated Caribbean food. And I'm like, to the waiter, I was like, hey, like, why is it so much? Like, why can't we get like more plated food? And it was like, oh, there's no such thing as that type of food. You know, this is what we have. And I'm like, that can't be right, you know? And it was Memorial Day weekend. I was bored at home. At the time I was living in Brooklyn, but Brooklyn Memorial Day weekend is always a hot weekend. And I was home. I didn't go to any of the parties. And I just was like, let me start this. This is in the infancy stages of Instagram. So I was just like, let me look around and see if I could find chefs, like Caribbean chefs. And it just morphed into, it really started with me doing stories. Like I would find pictures of food and then I would give stories about the dishes and compare them to like how other islands have their own interpretation to food. And it really resonated with people. Like they all used to come in common, like, oh my God, we call like avocado zabaco here. And then, you know, we in Jamaica, we call it pear. So it was just like, it was a nice little community that started building first amongst foodies. And then when I started with the chefs, it just like morphed into like more and more chefs, like appreciating a platform showing plated Caribbean food.
I really love that. So tell me how you came up with the name Best Dress Plate.
So the name. In Jamaica, there's a place called Best Dress Chicken. I'm going to keep it 100 with you, okay?
Yes, funny enough, I have a family member that was to sell the chicken for that company. But that's a whole other story. Go on.
So you see, everybody, I mean, if you're not Jamaican, obviously you may not be familiar with Best Dressed Chicken, but it came up. I was like, oh my God, that's so cute. And I was like, you know, even though in the beginning I wasn't sure if it was just going to be Caribbean, I felt like Best Dressed Plate wasn't going to be so stereotypic and, you know, like cliche, you know, like Caribbean this or coconut, or, you know what I mean? So I figured Best Dressed Plate, it says what it says. I love fashion. So I was like, this is great. At the time, I think Infatuation was in its infancy stage as well, which is another very large food platform. And I was like, oh, that's a cute name. But I'm like, Best Dressed Plate. I like it. I can like dibby dabble in fashion. It was just so many things I was going through my head at the time. But that's how I came up with the name Best Dressed Plate. Shout out to Best Dressed Chicken.
I love it. So the event that I went to was Caribbean Traditions, and you spell traditions DISHONS. Yes. How you finish traditions.
Yes.
How did that come about, and did that kind of spin off from Best Dress Plate, and what are the differences between the two?
So yes, like tradition, right? You know, the English language, like I have friends who are like from different countries and they're like, oh my God, English is the hardest language to learn. And it really, really and truly is. Because when you look at how you spell tradition and how you pronounce it, it's like, it doesn't, you know, make sense. But the fact that it has that dish, it sounds like dish, like a dish that you eat. I said, this makes so much sense, you know, to bring in the fact that it's traditional, but we're talking about dishes. So it that one was really more intentional than Best Dressed Plate. It was like, yeah, tradition. And we're in a place right now where people are hungry for learning more about their culture, whether it be Caribbean, whether it be Asian, Latina, like people are really digging into history and culture. And I felt like from a food perspective, you know, you have to kind of know the history of the food in order to really get connected, knowing when you're eating it, for the chefs even to be connected to the food as far as the history of the food. So that's where Caribbean tradition came in. And it was really built on it was a dinner component of Best Dressed Plate. Best Dressed Plate is just a platform that celebrates like chefs, food producers, foodies even, and restaurants that are Caribbean. But the tradition is that event space, like, you know, having those dinner series that like the dinner you had attended. And actually the first one that I held was at the James Beard House, where I had Caribbean chefs. I had Barbados, St. Vincent, Trinidad. It was an amazing dinner. And it was from that dinner that I was like, you know what? I think I want to expand upon it, because having those conversations about traditional foods, it's like that nostalgic moment. And you go back to thinking about, you know, when mommy used to make corned beef and rice, and on Saturdays was the soup day. You know, it's like in every different island, they had their staples. And being in the U.S., everything is a melting pot. So now we're able to kind of have that discussion like, oh, you did that? Yeah, we did that too. So, yeah.
I think that is really exciting, because like you said, a lot of people are into exploring their cultures. And I think the gateway for so many cultures is food. And mm-hmm. you do that in such a curated way. And not only do you curate the chefs, but also the guests. It was the first time I had attended an event where it was sit down and connect with other people, like really breaking bread and getting to know new people. So tell me about the curation of the entire experience, because it's extremely detailed.
Well, yeah, it is. And that was definitely intentional of me. You know, I am very meticulous when it comes to that, because it's an experience that I want people to leave having, like something that they've never experienced before. Leaving with a sense of cultural pride, and of course, leaving with a new friend, a new associate, you know, because I felt like the people that I invited in that space, they all have that same thread of wanting to be kind of like an ambassador of the Caribbean with good taste, right? Because right now, the Caribbean is more so known for music, but there's so many other offerings that we have impacted in business, in healthcare, in technology, and of course in food outside of the typical street food, which is why I say, you know, we're taking the food from the streets to the seats, you know, because it's time. It's a universal language, you know, food is food, right? But when it comes to curating the event as far as the theme and the invited guests, and even just the table setting and the place setting, it all comes from what I grew up, what I remembered, and creating that nostalgic moment for the guests. So for instance, at the table, the plates, the chargers that I selected were those ornate white chargers, which reminded me of growing up. And my mom, you know, she had that china closet with the Mikasa china from Macy's and, you know, the doilies. So that's why it was more white driven, because that's what I remembered growing up. And I really tried to do like these hidden things without being so blatant when it comes to even the design and the styling of the plate setting, to provide that nostalgic moment for the guests and not be too overly extravagant too, because the real guest is the food.
And what I really enjoyed is the chefs coming out and kind of sharing their story. So by design, you have each chef create one particular dish of the night, and they come out and share their personal connection. I don't know that that's something that we get to experience even in regular dining experiences. So for me, getting to know the chefs behind the food and the story behind the dish that they're presenting, I think is so fun and engaging and important. How do you choose the chefs that are kind of come together on any of your events?
I like to have emerging chefs as well as established chefs, because I truly believe in the lift as you climb mentality, right? And sometimes some of the emerging chefs may not feel that they've arrived or they have enough skill to be in the kitchen with some of these established chefs, as well as an overall, their energy. It's a very holistic approach that I take when selecting these chefs, ensuring that they have the skill set to do a plated dinner, ensuring that they have the personality, because that means a lot too. That goes a long way. You're, like you said, you know, the chefs are coming out and they're speaking with the guests. That's very important that you're able to articulate the why behind your dish. I do work very closely with the chefs because I essentially come up with the theme, and then we work on the dish that they select down to the meats, the seasoning, because all of those things are very important when it comes to talking about it to the guests. So it's really chefs that are open and willing to come into this space that is fairly new and wanting to also help teach the emerging chefs as well. So it's definitely one, it starts off with like the theme, you know, what theme am I working with? In January, I'm doing Haiti. We're celebrating 220 years of independence. So that dinner, you know, it's something that's really special because it's 220 years. So the chefs that I selected for that, you know, it's emerging chefs, chefs that I feel can really represent the culinary side of the island. And then, of course, you know, we have that more seasoned chef that will bring it all together.
I love that. And how have the chefs kind of responded to the experience and even some of the attendees?
The chefs are just grateful to be able to cook, you know, food. You understand what I'm saying? Because not all of them, you know, on their day-to-day basis, their professional career are cooking Caribbean food, right? So they're able to come into a space where they can really exercise their culinary experience and bring in that innovative component of, you know, their Italian or their French experience, and then show how it can be done with Caribbean food. So the chefs are just happy to have a platform to showcase that. And the guests, just like yourself, they're amazed at the talent and just seeing food, our food, like that. Because we know our food is always seen as texture heavy, starch heavy, just overall heavy, because the food essentially was what we ate before we went out in the field. So it had to be heavy because it had to hold us through the whole day, you know? So being able to see that you can take roast yam and saltfish and then turn it into, you know, a sous vide, like, it's like, wow, I never would have thought that we can make that out of, you know, saltfish and yam. So it's just opening the foodie's eyes to so many different possibilities with our food.
And the palates, because pulled beef, the ravioli. It was like between the ravioli and the beef. The short rib. I can taste it right now. As you continue to do more events, I'm hoping selfishly that the plan is to not grow, only because I love the intimacy of it. But
the intimacy,
I'm sure the more you become in demand for this particular event, how do you think growth around this event will kind of play out in the future?
I definitely don't plan on making it more than what it is as far as the amount of guests. You know, they're like, you know, bring more. The max that I would do is 50. And that's really, honestly, it probably will only happen in the Caribbean because, as you know, we held it in Barbados. And it's just a different vibe in the Caribbean, you know? So it's like, I can get away with that in the Caribbean, you know, with a larger group of people. But here I still plan on keeping it intimate. I mean, it's limited. And that's how supper clubs go. You know, it's not this large setting with like 100 people. It's definitely never going to be that. The Caribbean Traditions dinner supper club. But yes, absolutely. It's going to expand into festivals, you know, in the near future, to have that Caribbean food festival, you know, showcasing the wonderful food from the Caribbean, from street food to, you know, food producers, just like the gamut. But there'll be others for awesome. People to enjoy.
Yes, I love it. Keep it small. What are some of, I would say, I'm sure you run into a lot of challenges over the years of running these events, and we've been talking about all the good things, but share some of the challenges and opportunities that have arisen for you throughout this journey.
I think the biggest challenge in the reach of Best Dressed Plate. And a couple of weeks ago, I had gone to an event that Renee Blewett held called Innovate to Elevate. And she had Fee from Fee Noel there as one of the guests. And I asked her, because she made mention of when the name of her brand was never Fee Noel, it was a different name. And she mentioned that, you know, they were going through a rebranding, and she said she wants to name it after herself. And she wants the focus to be on Caribbean. And I was just like, that's big, you know, because we're considered like a sub category, you know, we're not out there like that. Right. And for her to come out and be like, no, I'm going to stand on this. I asked her, how did you stand on that? And she told me, she said, you know, listen, your tribe, your people will find you. And I mean, it ignited something in me, because a lot of people like the idea of these dinners, and I like it too. But the Caribbean, I will shout on the rooftop. It is our time. It is our time, whether it be food, whether it be music. It's our time to now no longer gatekeep and let the world know that we hear, we have influence, and we are tapa tap. We're a little but tower.
We are kind of like the talking.
Hello.
I'm like the talking. Hello. You know, I'm misty already.
Okay. So I think that has been the biggest challenge for me, honestly. Like, everybody is just like, you need to broaden it, open it up. And I'm like, I almost fell. And I'm like, no, I think I'm going to keep it. I'm going to keep it specific to our Caribbean community, and I'm just gonna ride it out. That's just what it is.
I love that.
That's what it is.
I love that. So we're gonna get into some fun questions. What is your most surprising dish that you've had to date?
So in I think Nigeria, they have fufu, right? The pounded yam. So in like the French Caribbean, they have this thing called tom tom. I think in Haiti has it too, where it's breadfruit. Listen, if anyone follows Best Dressed Plate, they know me and breadfruit is like bench and batty. I love a breadfruit. Okay. Listen, one time this chef, Chris McKenna, he did a breadfruit ice cream. Here I go. And I made a breadfruit cheesecake from how he did it. And Andre Cooks, he did a cheesecake with bulla. He grate the girl, you know, normally it's graham crackers at the bottom, right?
Yes.
The bulla. Girl, listen.
That's so nice. Make it again. I cut me a slice, man.
Jesus Christ. It was so good. And I put some Appleton rum in there too, just for some.
You speaking my language, okay?
Listen. So I was like, listen, I remember by my mom's friend house, because I used to stay by her in Duane Park, and she used to make chicken back. So I was like, make some chicken back and breadfruit for me, please. Listen, that was so good. So, so, so good. That was the best. That was the best dish I ever had. Bestest. As much as I like, you know, plated, you know, sometimes, not country girl.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, okay. So we're talking a lot about food and elevated experiences. we cook at home every day, including myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not necessarily elevating the dishes. What are some tips that you can give me and the people about elevating your dishes at home? You said bulla and cheesecake. I said, wow, I wouldn't have even thought of that combination right there. But please tell the people, tell me, give me some advice.
So I would start with simple things like drinks, right? You can never go wrong with a drink. So if you have like, you know, the popular staple drinks like your sangrias, mojitos, you could do it with sorrel. You could do it with Mabi. You know what I mean? Like that's just a simple initial step,
yeah,
right?
Have a nice sorrel sangria. Yes. Me did depend that early, you know. Me did depend that early. Me ready feet for the holidays. Yeah,
understand.
Yes.
So you start with the drinks, right?
Okay.
And then you push yourself further with your plating. Like for me, plating is so important. You know, our generation is like, the way that our parents had us like, oh my God, I can't take no china. When I get my own places, pure plate because of kiambara. But now it's like, hello, we're older, we're refined. Let's get with the plates now. So when you get plates, like Anthropology has beautiful plates. The plates can do so much where you don't even have to be all shishi fufu with the food. You get nice plates. So plating is so important, your decor as far as plates. And decorating your table. Trader Joe's, Whole Foods, and Target, they have flowers. All you got to do is just go there, get some nice little flowers, go to Amazon, get those buds. You know, Amazon sells the little buds for like $28, and you can get like a whole box of them, cut the flowers, and there you have it. It's like, so it's like you don't have to be super extravagant. It's more just having an intention of what type of look you're looking for and keep it very simple. And that's it. Like Home Goods and HomeSense is like your best friend.
I love that. And
it's really
and I think I do better with that when I'm having like a dinner party, but like even just for myself, like maybe just, you know, going the little extra mile is a good thing. So I'm going to take that into consideration. Okay, you're having a house party, a dinner party. What are your top three artists on your playlist?
My top three would be Lady Saw. I hear that. I mean, it is what it is. Lord Kitchener, because I love like the mento, the calypso, old time calypso music, and Morgan Heritage.
That's a nice mix. But I was surprised at the Lady Saw. I want to know which Lady Saw you're going to draw for the dinner party. But me not put you on the spot.
No, I'm gonna tell you. I can tell you, Belly Robot, no, because I'm
so you broke out and then you rein it back in. Okay, all right. I love it. Okay, so last question: you're going to a dinner party. What are you wearing?
All black.
Okay. All right.
Yes, with a hint of color, white shoes, or you know. Colored earrings, but it's all black.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Nika. Thank you for sharing all the information about Caribbean traditions and best dressed plate. Share what you can about what you have coming up. I know you kind of hinted at a few things that are kind of in the works, but what can you share with the listeners and what can they look out for?
You can look out for more dinners, obviously. February is Reggae History Month. So we're doing a themed dinner for Reggae History Month. So Shatta's and Dancehall Queen is 25 and 27 years old. So it's kind of, that's the theme.
I like it. We're going to come as Alaveen and Marcia, the mystery lady. You know, that's my favorite movie. So. Yes, I can watch that on repeat all the time.
Oh my God. Yeah, that movie, listen, that February is special for me because I came from the entertainment side, you know, dealing with dance hall and all of that stuff. So this is kind of me like going back to that space, you know, it was fun, you know what I mean? So That one is going to be nice. I'm excited for that one, honestly. I'm really, really, really excited for that one.
So for those who are in the area, I think you do, these are invite only specific events. Mm-hmm. How do you ever open it up to the public, or what is that process like for you?
I'm considering opening up to the public in February for the Reggae History Month. It's still up in the air. By the summer, it definitely will be more open. And like we did Barbados, we'll be going to Jamaica in the spring. And then coming back here, you know, Caribbean Heritage Month, we have a lot of activations that's going to happen during that month, obviously. And August will be a year since we rebirthed it. So that's going to be another really, really nice event. And that will definitely be open to the public for sure. And we're going to have a nice, friendly competition. Best of the best. Yad on foreign. So we're going to have the team Jamaica. We're going to have some chefs coming from Jamaica, chefs coming from Grenada, Guyana, Trinidad, competing against chefs over here. You know, the best curry, the best jerk, the best rice and peas, you know? So all of these things.
Keeping all the food wars going. All right. Friendly food wars. Well, thank you so much. I truly appreciate you coming on and just sharing your journey with us. We'll definitely be on the lookout. So where can the people find you?
Best Dressed Plate on Instagram and Caribbean Tradition, spelled DISHON, on Instagram. And our website will be launching soon, which is bestdressedplate.com.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Nika.
Thank you.
And until next time, Leah Tubby Peeps. Thanks for listening to the latest episode of the Style and Vibes podcast. If you like what you hear, and I know you do, share it with your friends and family. If you want more, make sure you visit styleandvibes.com and follow us on our social channels, Twitter and Instagram @StyleandVibes. Until next time, Leah Tummy Peeps!